Today is Sunday, August 28th, 2016. The title of my teaching is going to be Judging God's Way, or you might say God's Standards, but I'm just going to call it God's Way. Everything that we do, we must do according to God's way. And judging is very, very important. So I'm going to kind of go over, there's two types of judging that I'll be going over today. One is krino, which is the Greek word for judging. Strong's number G2919, if you want to make note of that. And also, the other kind of judging is anakrino, which is Strong's number G350. And the difference between krino judging and anakrino judging, hopefully I'm pronouncing those words correctly, the Greek words for the judging. Krino judging is a condemnation judging. Krino judging is basically, you know, when we go out and we preach in the open air, the sinners love to say, do not judge. They're saying, do not krino me. Do not. They're not thinking that we're making an anakrino, which is a discernment type judging. So, krino is, it says it. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then after this, the krino, the judgment. And so the sinners, they don't want to be judged, even though they're going to judge us, which we've all seen the hypocriticalness of the sinners in the open air, the campuses, wherever we might preach, and even when we're doing one-on-ones with people as well. So. All the time while we go out street preaching, evangelizing, we hear the words, we should not judge, that only God can judge. Who are we to judge? Who are you? What makes you think you can judge me? You know, today I want to talk about two different kinds of judgments. So krino, outline is to separate, put asunder, to pick out, select, choose. The definition here it gives is that the I get from the Greek lexicon is to properly to distinguish, i.e., which is example, to decide mentally or judicially by implication, to try, condemn, punish, avenge, conclude, condemn, damn, decree, determine, and esteem, and also sue at law. So when you go into a courtroom, you're going to be judged. They usually have a jurors that are supposed to be your peers that will help the judge himself make the judgment. And I believe that when we stand before God's throne room and these sinners are being judged, that we're going to be part of the jurors and part of the testimony of how many times we went out and we preached to the sinners and they rejected the truth. And so that's going to be a krino judgment. And so, but the anakrino is more of a discernment type judging, discerning what's right from wrong. Like certain doctrines that we might look through, like once saved, always saved, we got to make a determination judgment on that. That's more of a discernment type of judgment. So, and we'll go through that. But if brother, how about Mr. Joshua Lavelle here? If you go to Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, because obviously verse 1, we know that the sinners like to quote verse 1 more than they quote anything else. They'll stop at verse 1 and they won't continue. But if you'll go ahead and read the whole thing in its context, please. Yes, sir.
Judge not that you be not judged, for with what judgment you judge, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured back to you. Why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye.
Now, since you read that out, Brother Joshua, what exactly is Jesus trying to say there? Is he's saying, do not judge, and then he's saying, but first take the plank out of your eye so you can see the speck. So what kind of judging is he rebuking there? I'm not putting krinos and anakrinos. He's specifically saying, when you do judge, take the plank out of your own eye. So what is he rebuking there? He's actually rebuking a certain kind of judging there. Yes, hypocritical, exactly. So he's rebuking a hypocritical judgment. We were talking about mixed fabrics and stuff like that, and let's just say it was a custom that I'm not supposed to wear mixed fabrics, and then I'm trying to push my beliefs on someone else. But if I was wearing mixed fabrics and I come up to Brother John and I say, Brother, why are you wearing mixed fabrics? He's going to say, you're a hypocrite. You're wearing mixed fabrics. So Jesus is saying, take the plank from your own eye first, that big sin. You know, that's why it's really important that when we're out preaching, we're out evangelizing, we're out sharing our faith, that we have examined our own selves first, which I'll get into a little bit later, going back into the anakrinos, which is the examining type of judging. And so when we're going out there and we're decreeing the word of God, and we're saying, we start quoting scripture and saying, oh, you're going to go to hell. The sinner says, you're not supposed to judge. Thou shalt not judge. They'll add that, the 11th commandment there. Thou shalt not judge. And then, you know, I might repeat something like, Jesus told me to judge, which we'll get into that in John 7:24, which is a krinos judgment. So we are commanded to judge, but we have to make sure that we have examined our own lives first. We must make sure that we've removed the plank from our eye first so that we can clearly see. Now, how are you going to see a speck in somebody's eye if you have a plank in yours? You know, Jesus is obviously rebuking hypocritical judging here. And so a lot of people, and even not just sinners, but some Christians have a misunderstanding of what judgment is. And so we must really make sure we pay close attention. That's why I when I was going through this, I have memory verses about judging in my head, and I'm like, what does that one say? Well, is that krinos or is that anakrinos? And so when I came across John 7:24, Jesus said, do not judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And another good reason, if Brother Daniel, if you go ahead and go to Matthew 7 and read verse 6, this is a reason why we're supposed to judge. We have to be careful about the person that we're talking to, the person that we're preaching to. You know, we have to be careful because if you want to go ahead and read that verse, brother.
It says, give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you.
Right. So when you're out there and you're, let's just, you know, pretend I'm talking to John here, John the sinner, he's not the saint yet. And I'm saying, John, you have sin in your life, and he's going to say, well, why don't you tell me about how you came to Jesus? Now, I got to be careful. I have pearls. I have precious pearls of my testimony. And I could say something like, well, I was free from, I'm using this as an example. I wasn't a homosexual, but I was free from homosexuality. Well, he could take that and rend me now. And so we'll be careful. That's why we're supposed to judge. We have to judge these people because when we're talking to them and we're getting into these one-on-ones, they're looking for a way to trip you up a lot of times. They're trying to trap you into questions. I had one guy ask me one time, what's the worst thing that ever happened to you? And really, I couldn't think of something that was just absolutely horrific. And then he walked away. But, I mean, if I were to told him that something really bad happened to me when I was younger, he could possibly turn around and use that against me, and now you're feeding your pearls to the swine. And so Jesus is saying we must judge. And then not only judge, we must judge a righteous judgment, And I'll just ask, anyone can answer this question, but by what are we supposed to judge? What standard are, and what are we supposed to judge by? But what standard do we use to judge? That's the question.
God's word.
Amen. Amen. God's word, God's standard. That's the number one thing. God's word and God's standard. When we go out and we proclaim the gospel, we proclaim the good news, or even if we're just doing a one-on-one witness testimony with people, we must use God's word to judge. When we stand before God, He's going to open up a book. He's going to open up sets of books. There's the books of remembrance that's talked about in the book of Malachi. And He's going to judge according to His standard. So Jesus, that's why we go back to John 7:24, where Jesus said, "Do not judge by appearance, but judge righteous judgment." Now, a perfect example of judging by appearance, which I've been guilty of, just a couple weeks ago at a Pride Festival, I was judging a woman for not having long hair. Turned out she had just gone through chemotherapy. But she was at a Pride Festival, bringing her children in there, and I wasn't just reproving her for her hair, I was also reproving her for bringing her children there, calling her a bad mommy. Why are you doing that? Train up your children in the way of the Lord, using the Bible as a standard. But I also pointed out the fact that she didn't have her long hair for glory. And I didn't find this out until afterwards, when she had been talking to another brother that was there, and they were talking for a very long time, and she shared with him how she just got out of chemotherapy and she had gone through cancer. So that right there is a good reason why we don't judge by appearance, but we judge a righteous judgment. So now that's another good reason for when we're going out on the streets that we have multiple people with us, to do the one-on-ones, because now I'm out there saying this or that or whatever, preaching God's word or preaching the truth and preaching against that specific sin, whether it be homosexuality or drunkenness. You know, maybe a guy just stumbled upon a curb. "Oh, you drunkard!" See, now I just judged him by appearance. And then he might come up and talk to one of the guys that's in my group and say, "I'm not drunk. What's this guy talking about?" But then you get to talking to him. Next thing you know, he starts being a potty mouth, using curse words. Well, now you just determine, by God's word, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, you know, at one point or another, eventually you're going to find out from these people that you're talking to, the sinners, that they're going to be guilty about something. And so that's why it's really important. And so when it comes to, you know, one of the other verses that a lot of us preachers use in the open air, if you would go ahead, Joshua Hyman, and open up the 1 Corinthians 2:15, please.
Brother, I'm going to interrupt you, but yep. Could you, as you go through sure. these different verses,
yes, sir.
Can you just tell us it's a K or an A verse?
Oh, okay.
This is a credo yep. verse, this is not a credo. So
yep.
at that point, we're just able to annotate and go
yeah. through. Yeah, Matthew 7. Verses 1-5, he's talking crino in both cases. Do not, you know, do not judge lest you be judged. Do not crino lest you be crino. 1 Corinthians 2:15, what we're about to do is anacrino. Anacrino.
So just 15?
Yes, verse 15.
And John 7:24 is crino as well?
Yes, yes. Do not judge according to appearance. Do not crino according to appearance, but crino righteous.
But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man.
And both of those right there are anacrino. So someone that spiritually discerns, we could use the word discern there, couldn't we? Let me go back to, excuse me a second here. Back here in my notes. And anacrino, the Strong's definition, it's Strong's word from G303 and G2919. It's properly to scrutinize, by implication, investigate, interrogate, determine, ask, question, discern, examine, judge. And so we're examining something now. This is a different kind of judgment. It's not going to be the condemning type of judging that we're going that we're eventually we're going to face the judgment seat of Christ.
Okay, so I'm sorry to interrupt you, yeah, brother. Yes. You said Anacleto was G350?
G303 and G2919, according to the Greek lexicon. Yep. And so when we're one of the things that we must do when it comes to judging is examining the scriptures. We examine Matthew 7, verses 1 through 5, and according to Joshua Lavelle, which I agree with his view on, Jesus is speaking about hypocritical judging. So we've discerned that by reading the scriptures and reading it in its context and not pulling out. See, Jesus said, do not judge, and then leave it at that. If we left it at that, then we would feed our pearls to the swine and we get trampled. If we leave it at that, we're not making righteous judgments. And as we get into this a little bit later, we'll see where Paul rebuked the Corinthians for not being able to judge. So judging is a very important thing. And it must be done properly. And it must be done according to God's standards, not ours. And, you know, so like I was saying before, the sinner's favorite verse is Matthew 7, 1. They like to quote that. And, of course, if you want to just make a note about the hypocritical judging, it's also repeated again in Luke chapter 6, verses 37 through 45. And, of course, we all know there's a book in the Bible called Judges as well. So, Old Testament book called Judges.
And Luke is doing those well, right?
Yes. It actually, Jesus says, do not judge lest you be judged. Do not condemn lest you be condemned in those verses. He says it both.
Even though it's a primo,
yep. He's making sure you. It's like Jesus, it's like the author, Luke, the author there is already giving you the definition right there. Do not judge lest you be judged. Do not condemn lest you be condemned. And so I imagine because Luke was a Greek author, he was the only non-Jew that wrote two books of the Bible, the book of Luke and the book of Acts. It's a very good reason maybe that was inserted in there, both words, judge and condemn. Possibly. I do say that possibly. So. And so those that will cover, you know, just the two types of judging. The two big verses that we use when we're in the open air is, you know, the sinners will say, do not judge. We'll say, well, Jesus tells me to judge righteous judgment. And that's what we judge by. We judge according to the Word of God. We judge by His standard, not our own. We've made sure, before we came out here, that we removed the plank from our eyes so that we could see clearly to take the speck out of yours. Because we don't want, the main reason for judging sinners as well as we don't want them to go to hell. We don't want them to end up in hell. And so when we're going out there and proclaiming the judgments of God, we're showing them the law, the moral law, not the ceremonial law, which you guys have gone over already. We're showing them the law so that they know that they're guilty of breaking it. So when you're driving down the road and the speed limit says 35, you know that if you're going above 35, you're breaking the law. So in order for the sinner to know that they're guilty, they must know there's a law that they have broken. And so once we let them know that, then we can and we are proclaiming that judgment upon them, which will eventually come back to them if they don't repent. They're going to stand before God. They're going to give an account for these words that are being told to them. And we will stand there testifying against them in God's court one day. And so, and it's very, that's why it's extremely important to judge righteous judgment. Because God is the ultimate judge. God, I mean, I'm going to get into this later a little bit. Because God is the ultimate judge. One of the, and we'll go to the Old Testament now. Psalm 7:11 is another verse that we really like to quote in the open air. And most of the time, I'll quote the back half, which is God is angry with the wicked every day. But it's really important that we look at God judgeth, going back to the whole verse, reading the whole entire verse, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, this is a Hebrew word, and it is pronounced Shaphat. Shaphat. And it's Strong's H8199. And it's the same kind of judging as Crenels. And so we know, so what basically, so what do you mean by, I guess you might ask me the question, I'll ask myself the question and answer it for you. What do you mean, God? I thought God, we were judging sinners. Now you're talking about God's judging the righteous. You see, definition that's given by the Hebrew now, the Hebrew definition, is to govern, to passively, to litigate, literally and figuratively, to avenge, to condemn, defend, execute judgment, be a judge. So one of the things that we know that God is going to do, I don't know the exact verse, but it says, do not be a fool. God is not mocked, for whatever man sow, he shall also reap. We know that these sinners that are, trying to abuse us in whatever kind of way, or they're verbally abusing us, or even physically abusing us, that's going to come back to them. Of course, we don't want that for them. We want them to repent and be forgiven. But if they don't, God will avenge. That's why it says, if you help me out here, brother, do not take revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I shall repay. I don't know if you know. I don't know. Okay. It says, yeah. So when we're out there, of course, we don't want to be vengeful back towards them. Yeah. Okay. And so, I guess I should have covered it myself. I didn't. I apologize for that. But we know that God will eventually avenge. God's vengeance will be taken. And it says that Jesus Christ is coming back in flaming fire to take vengeance upon those that know not God and obey not the gospel. So we know that when God judgeth the righteous, this is part of that judgment. You see, God is going to say, hey, Marvin was out on the street on this day and he was preaching. And you wicked sinner, you came up to him and you spit on him. You called him all kinds of vulgarity, and he's going to give an account for each word. He's going to give an account for spitting on me, and I'll testify, yes, Lord, he did that. And he will be judged accordingly to that. And God will avenge. God is the ultimate avenger, you would say. He's the one that's going to bring everything in the full cycle, everything's going to become into perfect judgment by God. And so when he says, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day, he's talking about judging the righteous. The righteous shall be judged as well as the sinner. And these will all be separated out by God. And Psalm 9:8, and the word Shaphat could be found several times in the Old Testament, all throughout the Old Testament. And I'm just going to read off a couple verses here. Psalm 9:8, and he shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. It's the same Hebrew word as Shaphat. You found it? You found it, Brother Joshua? You found it? Okay. Hebrews 10:30. Can you read it, please, sir?
For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge his people.
So there you go. The Lord will judge his people. The Lord will, you know, all anything that's happened to you that was wrong, God's going to make it right. Everything, you know, Brother John, I've seen him get punched and the lady ran off. She thinks she got away with it. I pray she repents. We pray for her to repent. We don't want her to stand before the judge and executioner, which is God Almighty. We don't want that for her. But if she does not repent, she will give an account on the day of judgment, and John will be, and we and the saints that were there are witnesses as to what happened. And that is that God will avenge. God will get. God gets the last say in all things. And also in Psalm 149:9, there's a perfect example of the saints judging. This is one of my favorite verses. To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. It's an honor to judge. It's not just, we're not just supposed to. It's an honor for the saints to judge. And so, and that word, judgment in this case, is mishpat, which is the H8199, the Hebrew. And it's basically the same thing, properly, or a verdict, an unfavorable, it's going to be it's favorable or unfavorable, pronounced judicially, especially a sentence or formal decree. And so that right there shows you that this, even in the Old Testament, is talking about the saints will judge. It's an honor for the saints to judge. And so we...
Is that equated with Krenos as well?
Yeah, yes, sir. Yes, it's equated with Krenos judging. And looking through this with my studies, I've seen that Krenos is a lot more prevalent than Anakrenos. Yeah, that'd be something to work on, definitely. Amen. Okay. So with the word mishpat, which is basically the same as krenos judging, and even shafat, these are the Hebrew words versus the Greek words, basically the same meanings. Psalm 7:11. And then to execute, and then getting into Mishpat itself, it says here it occurs 421 times in 406 verses in the Hebrew Concordance of the King James Version. This proves that we are to take part in judging the world, which we will get into in a little bit in 1 Corinthians 6 later on here. I'll try to sum this up a little more here. So it's from Genesis 18:19. If Joshua Gruguska, if you pull up Genesis 18:19, and Brother John McGlone, if you would go ahead and pull up Malachi 4:4. Yes, sir.
For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him.
So he's talking about righteousness and justice there. This is all a judicial thing we're talking about here. Go ahead, brother.
Yep. Malachi 4:4 says, remember ye the law of Moses my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments.
And so one thing we take away from this is that we need to understand judgment and how it works and pertains to us and to those who are around us, sinners and saints alike. And we really, I'm not going to get into this too much. I won't get into this at all. It would be a good thing to have a teaching just on this and how we're supposed to judge the saints. We got to be much more careful. We must be much more careful when we're dealing with brothers and sisters in the Lord. Because we don't want to become a false accuser of the brethren. Because we know that the devil is the false accuser of the brethren. And so we must be very careful when it comes to judging the saints, when it comes to that. And so, if we look, going back to Matthew 7:1-5 and John 7:24 and 1 Corinthians 2:15, we see one must be a saint in order to make proper judgment. The saints, there's a common theme. The saints shall judge. It's an honor for the saints to judge. Jesus said, judge righteous judgment. Well, if someone's not a saint, then they're not righteous. They have no place judging. And then Proverbs 28:5, which is mishpat, judgment, which is the same as krinos. It says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. And this goes right back to 1 Corinthians 2:15. A spiritual man understands all things. Evil men don't. An evil man, evil mind cannot comprehend God's proper judgments. And this is the reason why sinners should not judge. So, it really shows the truth.
Putting a 357 Magnum in his hand to say, make sure it's loaded with bullets, take the safety off, and you'll play with that.
Yeah, no, it wouldn't make sense at all. And so, let's see, what can I pick on? Brother Seth, would you please go to 1 Corinthians 6 and read verses 1 through 8, please. And as the Father always reminds you, please read loudly so that the recorder can read.
What was the verse?
Verses 1 through 8.
Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unjust, and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgment of the things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are at least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? Know not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. But brother goeth to law with brother, and that before them believers. Now therefore there is utterly a fault among you, because ye go not to law when one and ye go to law one with another. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Why do ye not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren.
So here we have Paul. Was that everything? Thank you. We have Paul rebuking the Corinthians for not being able to judge themselves. Going to the unjust judges and says that to their shame. Oh, and you know, I just add, you know, this is my thought process on this. All the things that the saints try and push under the carpet. All the matters that we have between one another, and we can't get these things straight. And I'll digress at that, because like I said, we could do a whole teaching just on judging in the saints. But I just wanted to do a brief overlay of the two main types of judgment that we have. And so Paul shows exactly why we should not go to the unjust for our cases. And if you would, Brother John, go to 1 Corinthians 6 and read the very famous verses we quote all the time, verses 9 and 10. Why we should not go to the unjust. And this is in context. He just got done with verse 8. Now, Brother John's going to pick up in verse 9. This is the context as to why we should not go to unjust judges to judge between the saints.
Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Can I read verse 11?
Yes, sir. Okay. Go right ahead.
And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God.
Amen. Very important, very important. So why would we turn to the world to judge matters when we are more than capable of doing so ourselves? Why would we turn to the Supreme Court to tell us whether murdering a child is wrong or not. Why would we turn to the Supreme, just using these examples, why would we turn to the Supreme Court to tell us whether homosexual marriage is right or not? That is a problem. And the church has laid dormant, has not spoke up and rose up. Who will rise up against the evildoers? It's supposed to be the church today that's supposed to do that. So we have a group of preachers all across the United States that are standing up and raising up, and we pray for more laborers all the time to do this because we need to be a voice. Because right now the world is overtaking. The Supreme Court has made these rulings, and for the past, since 1973, Roe versus Wade says you can kill your baby. Bad judgment. That's why evil men are not supposed to. It says evil men understand not judgment. They don't understand judgment. These Supreme Court rulers do not understand proper judgment. They don't and that is the reason why they will not be judging on Judgment Day. They will be judged, exactly. That is exactly why, as saints, we should go out of our way to make sure we know what judgment is and have a better understanding of it. And so, this is also not to take away from the authority that God has given to our very own government. All in all, we shall judge the world, and we will even judge angels. God has given us earthly judges that we must obey until they tell us to do something that goes against God. And Peter said it best in Acts 5:29, and Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." Once again, though, I will say, this is a discernment-type judgment we must make. When an officer says to us, you cannot tell these homosexuals they're going to hell, because that could happen real soon here. We're going to have to make a discernment-type judgment right then and there. Am I going to go to jail? Or am I going to go home today? And eventually we won't be able to say anything. No, and eventually we won't be able to bail out, and the Lord knows when and how that's going to happen. Back to judging, though, I'll ask the question again, by what or whose standard do we judge? Daniel said it earlier. God's judgment, right? Can we judge according to His book? We have our Bibles, 66 books to judge by. We have His Word, we have His standard, and we must always remember that it is God's Word and God's standard, not our own. We say this all the time. I'm not judging you according to my standard. I'm judging you according to the Bible. And we'll even say, get to know the God of the Bible. In Romans 3:4, it's a really good verse. It says, "God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art krino, judged." Another krino judgment. So, if we're judging by another standard, like our Supreme Court is, they're going to be under a harsh ruling, a harsh judging. A krino judgment. It's going to be a damning judgment. It's a condemnation. And of course, God is the ultimate judge of all the saints and the sinners. You know, I said this earlier, Hebrews 9:27, and yes, it's a krinos judgment. It's appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And, you know, we have examples as to why we should fear God. We talk about fearing God. Why do you fear God? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verses 13 to 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Which also brings us back to Psalm 7:11, God judgeth the righteous. He's going to judge the righteous and He's going to judge the sinners. And 2 Corinthians 5:10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to what to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." One thing I said earlier when we were talking about the shadow laws and the moral laws is whenever something is repeated from the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14, here it's repeated again in 2 Corinthians 5:10, we better pay really close attention. It's important. And Jesus himself said, "Do not fear the one that can kill just the body, but fear the one that can kill both body and soul and cast into hell." It's repeated from the Old Testament to the New Testament. It's got to be really important about fearing God. And then 2 Corinthians 13:5, I'm going to go back into an anacrinal. It says, "Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not yourselves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates." And then I say, remember that is examining is a type of judging, anacrinal, which is a discerning type of judgment. We must discern our own hearts and search our own selves and see if we be in the faith. It's very important, and one of the things we always do before we take communion, 1 Corinthians 11:31, "For if we would examine ourselves, we should not be judged, examined."
You said that's anacrinal as well?
Yes, sir. Anacrinal. And then, of course, we,
So the anacrino, the first part of that verse, talks about the crino, the second part, is that correct?
They're both anacrino according to the Greek lexicon. Now, the Greek lexicon isn't the absolute truth, so we know that we need to examine ourselves. We know we need to judge ourselves. And then I'm going to get into a little bit later on the best way to examine ourselves, which I will get into a little bit later on. But if we would examine ourselves, we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged, we would not be examined. So, this is a little bit different. Actually, I apologize, brother. It's not anacrino. I apologize. It's actually diacrino, which is a form of anacrino. I apologize. Diacrino, which brings me to the reason why I asked you the question earlier. If you go ahead and just share with us on your job, you have to discern. Help me out here. Wood.
Yep. Oh, yeah. The different types of wood and which tree it belongs to. But there's.
Can you speak up a little bit more?
Yeah. Like there's different types of wood. You have to name which one belongs to which tree.
And that's your job, and that's a very important task, correct?
Right.
If you get that wrong, that wood could be used for something that's not supposed to, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. So that is a type of a discernment and examining. He's examining these pieces of wood to see which tree they came from so that they get their proper use. Does that sound right, Daniel?
That's right.
There's a big difference between red oak, white oak, and poplar. One has this value, and one has almost no value. You'd be ripping the customer off to say, okay, this is white oak, but it's actually poplar. Right? Right. Very, very important.
Yeah, and it's actually pronounced diacrino. Diacrino, which is from G1223 and G2919. It's to separate thoroughly. Pretty good definition. To separate thoroughly. So,
what's the second number, right?
G2919. And, of course, this type of judging ourselves is a purging type of judging. We're getting rid of the things that don't belong. We've got rid of the plank.
Got rid of Christmas.
Yeah, got rid of Christmas. That's a good one. We got rid of the plank out of our eye. But now we have these sins of ignorance. Like Brother John shared his testimony that when he first became born again, he was still smoking. Then God convicted of him that. So God said, hey, John, you need to discern that that's not right. Your body is a temple. It's not meant for smoke. Your lungs are not meant for smoke. So he had to make that determination and repent of it. And so, which is why it's really important that we would examine ourselves. So we should not be examined, so we should not be judged. And it's a type of purging. Like I said, it was similar to what Brother Daniel does with his job. We must examine ourselves and get rid of the things that do not belong, such as things that we have made idols in our lives, like Christmas. Televisions, perhaps, if that's become an idol in your life. If watching football, like for me, became a huge idol in my life, I had to get rid of it. I purged it completely out. Gone. Okay? It may not be an idol for someone else, and we're getting into doubtful disputations and not forcing your own personal convictions on somebody else.
But you could talk about it. I could get convicted.
Yeah, absolutely. I could say, well, if you're spending 3 hours in front of the television, brother, watching a game today, how many people just went to hell? We can use that as an example.
Could you have the Lord praying?
Yep, praying, studying. Yep, absolutely. Lost my train of thought, but not because of what you said, but that we would redeem the time, for the days are evil, right? We would be redeeming the time, getting rid of things that do not belong, such as things that we made idols in our lives, and false doctrines, which is another form of idolatry. False doctrines could be another form of idolatry. These are also sins of ignorance that God reveals to us. Now we must repent of those things. Otherwise, they end up being willful sins. And we won't go to, you could just make a note, Hebrews 10, 26 through 31 covers that you do not want to be in willful sin. And it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God, that if we sin willfully after coming to the knowledge, there remains no more sacrifice for our sins, but a sudden coming of judgment. There's that word again. Judgment. And then the best way to judge ourselves, and I do it every day, which is the best way to examine, is to have God himself examine us. And Psalm 139, I'll go ahead and read it. Psalm 139, verses 23 through 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In regards to judging, we should judge ourselves much more harshly than we judge others. If we must judge ourselves more harshly. That way we'd be making sure that we are living up to what God wants us to be doing in our own personal lives.
I think you mean more strictly.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, more strictly, a higher standard. We're held to a standard. We're holding ourselves to almost a higher standard. Not higher than God's word, though, because there's nothing higher than that. But we're holding ourselves to that standard. And how else would we be able to remove the beam from our own eye, first to see clearly the mote, or speck in our brother's eye? After all, the Bible says that judgment must begin in the house of God. For the time is coming, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 18, for the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God, and if first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinner appear? Whoa. So that's why we must always make sure we're judging ourselves, we're examining, and we're also asking God to examine our hearts. God, have I upset you? Have I sinned against you? God, have I angered you? Have I sinned against my brother that I didn't know I did, or my sister? Have I said something to my wife that perhaps I shouldn't have said, or to my son, or in your case, your daughters? So these are things that we must examine our own lives, and must make sure we clear these things up so that we are clearly able to see the speck in our brother's eye when we're judging. And And 1 Peter 4:17 through 18, the word there for judgment is krima, which is G2919. It's a decision, the function, or the effect for or against. Crime. Avenge, once again, condemned, condemnation, damnation, going to law for judgment. It's the same type of judgment. And we know that God is not partial. We know God is not a partial God. He does not judge partially. He also is not a respecter of persons, which gets covered in Acts 10:34-45. But for time's sake, I'll just make a note of that. In conclusion, I praise God that one day He will set the record straight. His judgments will bring everything into perfect balance. We'll have a perfect balance. Just think about what it was like in the Garden of Eden. They had perfect balance before they sinned. And then got kicked out of the garden. They had everything was perfect. We're going to have that again. We're going to have that again, but we must first go through this life. We must endure till the end. He will cast out the wicked from among us. This shows how much God loves those who are His. He loves it so much, He's not going to let the wicked to dwell amongst us. We must strive to enter in and abide in His love. John 15:10-11 says, "If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." There's joy in keeping God's commandments. There's joy in listening to your parents, to your mother and your father, when they tell you to do something. There's joy in obeying them because you'll be blessed, as John was talking about earlier. You'll be blessed, they'll be blessed, and God is pleased. It was a very good example earlier. And let us not forget that we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ and give a full account. Romans 14:12 says, "So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." And here's a really good example of God setting everything straight. In Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15. And I really want to take the time to read this so you kind of get the picture here. This is God setting everything straight. Everything's going to be set straight. Everything's going to come into a perfect balance. And that's why it's really important for us to study the Scriptures, to spend time with the Lord in prayer, and asking Him for understanding concerning these things. And even in this teaching, I know that there's much more things I need to understand pertaining to judgment. It says in Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 15, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them." Talking about the sinners now, and the devil and his angels, there's no place for them in God's kingdom. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open." I was talking about this earlier, the books that God's going to open were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. According to their works. "And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Bad for sinners, right? Very bad for sinners. But praise God, it's good for the saints. And Brother John, if you would go ahead and read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. The good news. We got bad news. Can always use some good news, couldn't we? So I really like to end this on some good news. So here's the good news, good reason why we judge ourselves, we examine ourselves, we must know what proper judgment is, we must remove the plank, because if we're judging an unrighteous judgment, we're going to be judged according to that same judgment. And the question we must ask ourselves before, I'll just say this real quick and then let you read, brother. The question we must ask ourselves, am I ready to be judged the same way I just judged that person? Am I ready to be judged?
Okay. Which verses did you want
to read? Verses 1 through 7.
And I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new.
Hallelujah.
And he said unto me, Write, for these things are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Praise God. That sounds good. So it's bad for the sinners, it's good for the saints. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, how can a loving God throw sinners into hell? That is the loving thing to do. Because God cannot let anything defiled into his kingdom. It can't be. The priests of the Old Testament, if they had sin in their life and they entered into the Holy of Holies, they fell down dead. That's why they had to go in with bells. Because if the bells stopped jingling and they had a rope tied to their ankle, they would get pulled out of the Holy of Holies. Because they had sin in their life. And that's why God will not allow it, and praise God that he won't. Who wants to live with homosexuals for all eternity? Raise your hand. Who wants to live with an axe murderer for all eternity? Raise your hand. No. We want to live with the saints. We enjoy fellowshipping with the saints, don't we? And we will fellowship for all eternity in the presence of our great God and Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So, and I'll open it up for questions. If you disagree with anything I'm saying, or if you want to add...
I just had a couple of things I'd like to clarify if I could, brother.
Yes, sir.
Luke 6, 37 to 45.
Yes.
You said both of those are krino.
Yes.
I understood that. Can we just read that passage?
Yeah, we can. Absolutely. I was just leaving that out for time's sake.
No, that's fine.
Yep. Just letting you know why I didn't. Luke,
if this gets too involved, we can continue it until the end of the week later. That's fine, too. So.
Okay.
But this verse is often used about lukewarm believers when they feel condemned by their preaching, why we can't judge. So, judge them. And why it's important, I think, that you do a second study, at least, and or teaching about judgment between the saints.
Right, absolutely.
Because we see on Facebook just monster, this thing we're going through right now. This monster abuse between people that I believe are godly and are sincere and believe in holiness and are acting according to their knowledge, but because they're not applying this set of verses properly, they are acting the way they're acting.
Right.
Okay, 6. You want me to read it, brother?
Yeah. No, you go ahead. Yes, sir. 37 through 45.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Krinos not, or judge not, and ye shall not be krinosed. Condemn not, and ye shall not be krinosed. I suppose the same word. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall men give unto your bosom, for with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. He spoke a parable unto them, Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thy own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, Brother, let me pull out of the mote that is in thine own eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, cast out first the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. And it goes on, the good tree and bad tree. Is that enough?
Yeah, actually, the reason why I included all the way to 47 is in context there, is the reason why we're supposed to judge once again. We're fruit inspectors.
Right.
We're judging the fruit.
I'm sorry,
right.
I didn't realize it went all the way to 47. So, for a good tree bringeth forth not good fruit, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep, laid the foundation on a rock, and the flood arose. The stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, but was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great.
Right. So once again, you know, Jesus is dealing with Krinos judgment there and condemning, and then the reason why we must do proper, going back to John 7:24, judging righteous Krino. Because we have to know, our audience. When we go and preach at a strawberry festival, we're not going to be preaching necessarily against drunkenness, perhaps. We're not going to be necessarily preaching against homosexuality, perhaps. When I go and preach at a Planned Parenthood, I'm not going to necessarily preach against homosexuality unless it comes in my view. We're out there preaching against murderers. When we go to a Pride festival, we're probably not going to preach about murdering children. Although we might if it comes into our view. So it's all about judging and discerning. Of course, the fruit, one of the things I did not add that I should have, and I do apologize for that, is about being fruit inspectors. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot produce good fruit. And so we must always be careful to know that, you know, if someone comes up and says, hey, let me shake your hand and give you a hug, do we really want to be shaking a hand of someone that's getting ready to stab us in the back? Because I've had this happen where a guy came up and fist bumped me, and then within 5 minutes later, he was assaulting me. So that's why we must be careful to judge properly, which gets hard sometimes when we're out on the street and things get real rough. You know, you get ruffled pretty easy out there. And it gets harder and harder to make those kinds of judgments. But we must stand upon the Word of God and preach what we know the Holy Spirit has called us to preach. So, but anyways.
Thank you very much for that.
Yeah.
And because...
And thank you for reading that, too.
That's why I had that question.
Yeah, I'm glad you read that, brother. Thank you.
And the diakino...
Diakrinos, yes.
Can you give that definition again, please?
Yes. Second.
That's G numbers, right?
I wrote this and I can't find it. Isn't that figure?
It's okay, but we can get it later. It's fine. And that's all I have. If anybody else doesn't have any more questions, I'll get it from here. But no problem.
Okay.
And so now we need to do some anacrino before we have to celebrate communion, the remembrance of Christ. Right?
Absolutely.
So there's a direct and immediate application for ourselves.
Lest we be crenoed.
Lest we be crenoed. That's right. Lest we be crenoed in the end. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brother.